We do not become Christians by doing his commandments, but obeying his word shows or is the proof that we are truly his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command. We get saved by grace. We become his friends. And by obeying his word shows that we really are a friend of Jesus, God Almighty.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse through the Bible. We see what greater love looks like as our study of John continues in chapter 15, verse 13. Here's Pastor Bob.
This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. He says, I'm telling you these things. I can't remind you of all of them. You have to go back and read them again. I'm telling you these things so that you might be joyful, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be overflowing, full. This is my commandment. Here's what I want you to do. Love one another as I have loved you. God is, his love is abounding. It is abundant love. Love, God's love that covers. Love that in grace has overlooked and forgotten. Did God promise to forget all of your sins? And all in the Greek means just all of them except for that big one this morning. That's how we live, isn't it? Oh, except for that one 5 years ago. Remember that? Now, no one's going to let you forget that. Or how about the one 8 years ago? Or 20? Or is anybody over 20? 30. That's how we deal with God. You know, we're pretty sure he's upset as he has to be. How could he not be upset with me when I was 27? Because first of all, I was 27. I mean, how could he not be? He's not. He's forgiven my sin, your sin. He has separated as far as the east is from the west. Love covers. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. He loved me, you, us, selflessly. He gave everything. He gave his life for me and for you. That's what love is, he says. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. 1 Peter 4, 7 and 8. This is all review, remember? But the end of all things is at hand, Peter says. Be ye therefore sober, watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover a multitude of sins. Is that what God does or what? Gone. The devil could bring it up to you. And if the devil mentions your name at the throne of God, don't you forget that he mentions it quite often, not just you, all of us. Devil mentions your name there. Jesus speaks up instantly as our advocate says, that's on me. I paid that. So the devil can hold nothing over you or against you because our advocate, he's our adversary. He's taken care of. Charity, love, covers a multitude of sins. That's where we stopped. So let's start now in verse 13. Greater love has no man than this. When he says man here, he's talking about individual, man or woman, person. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now listen, you are my friends. If you do whatsoever I command. The language is this. You are my friends since you do whatever I command. In other words, we are trusting in him. He says to those disciples that are walking with him toward the garden, You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command. Henceforth, or from now on, I call you not servants. Wait a minute. Are we servants of Jesus? Yeah, we are. But notice what he calls us. I call you not servants. Why? Because the servant knoweth not what his Lord is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Okay, that's big. That's a whole lot. No greater love. No greater love for a friend. Right? Greater love has no man than this. There's no greater love for a friend. The most loving that there is, the most a person can do for his or her friend is to die for them. That's the ultimate. You can loan them money. You can help them. You can help them do their laundry. You can help them change their furniture. You could help them build a house. You could do, right? But the greatest of all would be to, if you died for them, that's the most you could ever love. True? So all you got is you. So think that through. It's a clear, in other words, Jesus said, it's a clear demonstration of love. Greater love has no man than this. A demonstration, no greater demonstration of love than a man lay down his life for his friends. We do not become Christians by doing his commandments. Does that, remember we already read that. You don't become a Christian by being good. And that's what a lot of people teach. Well, if you're going to be a Christian, you got to be good or you can't be one. No, you're saved by grace through faith alone. We do not become Christians by doing his commandments, but obeying his word shows or is the proof that we are truly his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command, right? So we don't become his friends by obedience. We get saved by grace. We become his friends. And by obeying his word shows that we really are a friend of Jesus, God Almighty. We show that we really are friends of Jesus by walking in obedience to his word by the power of God's Holy Spirit. You see, in other words, we don't have to, we get to. We don't have to because our salvation is based on it. No, our salvation is a free gift. We now show him our love by following, by walking in obedience. Can you even believe that Jesus just called you? Because everybody usually that I talk with says, well, he's talking to only those 11. No, he's talking to everyone that is a follower of his. He calls you friend. Can you even picture or hear it in your head? Jesus calling you, how are you, my friend? How are you? No, we can't, because it just doesn't seem right. Because how could you be a friend to Jesus? You know, there's a song I like. Of course, most Americans don't like country music, I suppose. What a friend we have in Jesus. And what great words. And people say, well, that's not scriptural. Well, it is for me. You go somewhere. Of course it's scriptural. What a friend we have in Jesus. What did he just say? No greater love is a man than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. That shows that, you see, that is the greatest display of love. Who died for you and me? Jesus did. He showed you the greatest love that there is, and he has it for you and for me and for anybody else who would surrender to him. And I've heard believers say, well, I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but I pray, oh, what's his face doesn't ever get there. I heard one lady say, if a certain man gets saved, then I don't even want to go to heaven. There's love right there, huh? That's deep and it's real. And that's messed up. And that's kind of the church today. The church is kind of a mess. His friend, is that important? You know who it's important to? That's important to God. When he just said, from now on, I call you not servants, you and I would say, it's okay, I'm still his servant. But he calls me his friend. Are we still servants? Yeah, we want to be. By grace through faith, we want to serve. We don't have to. People say, you have to go to church on Sunday or you'll go to hell. No, we go because we want to worship our Lord and learn about him and fellowship with one another. It encourages you. It strengthens you. You get out of fellowship and you sort of just fizzle sort of away. But listen to this. Genesis 15. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 6. If you're quick, zoom over there. If you're not quick, then lock in. Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham, in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding reward." Well, that'd be good enough for me right there. I say, stick with me then, God. Thank you. I can sure use you. And Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is Eleazar of Damascus." Abraham said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." In other words, I have Eleazar. Is that the one you're going to bless everybody through? "And behold, the word of the Lord," this is verse 4, "came to him saying," this Eleazar, he loves Eleazar, but he said, "this Eleazar shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth of thine own body shall be your heir." And he brought Abraham forth outside the tent, said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." Look at the stars. You can't count them. You'll have that many kids and more. Yeah, okay, great, but I have none. Could we start with one? In verse 6, "And Abraham believed in the Lord." Literal language, he believed in his heart what the Lord just promised. "And God, he counted it to Abraham for righteousness." How did Abraham get saved? By grace through faith, putting all his faith in God. That's how he got saved. And what did he do from that day forward? He was perfectly sinless. His wife was kind of a mess, but no. What did he do? They were both kind of a mess, weren't they? It wasn't all roses and rainbows for them. He lied for 25 years, the same lie, a little more than 25 years. He had to, he thought, so that he wouldn't get his head cut off. Because his wife was so beautiful, he figured every man that saw her wanted her, and they're going to kill him for her. He was old. She was a spring chicken. Like when he was 75, she was only 65. Cradle robber. So now, set your way back machine to Genesis 18. If you were at 15, you're only three chapters off. Come on. Genesis 18. And I'm going to read verses 16 through 20. Familiar verses to you. I haven't forgotten we're studying in John. And I don't want you to forget it either. But you have to see this. Genesis 18. I'm going to read verses 16 through 20. I'll just tell you what's happened. Jesus and two angels showed up at Abraham and Sarah's tent out in the middle of nowhere to have lunch. While Jesus was talking to Abraham, Sarah was inside the tent with a glass to the tent wall listening. Bible says she was listening. I don't know how she heard through, but probably glass. He said, you're going to have a baby. This time next year, your wife's going to have a baby. And Sarah laughed while inside the tent. She chuckled. And Jesus didn't even skip a beat. He didn't look back and say, what is she doing in that? He looked at Abraham and said, why did your wife laugh? And of course, Sarah defended herself. She kind of pokes her head out and says, I didn't laugh. And Jesus said, yes, you did. You can lie to God. Oh, it wasn't me laughing. It was I'll slap my maid. Think about it, everybody. We lie to God all the time that way. Bob, what were you thinking? I wasn't thinking that. You thought I was thinking that? No. Gonna have a baby. Is anything too hard for God? Is anything too impossible for God? Too hard? The answer is no. Well, then quit saying that it's not going to happen, Sarah, because it is next year about this time. So let me read to you. Jesus and the angels head on. They're going to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah. So Genesis 18, verse 16 through 20. And the men rose up from there, Jesus and the two angels, and they looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to walk along with them, just kind of had them on their way. He just walked with them, kind of like you walk to the end of the road or you walk to the gate where they're going to go on. He's just walking with them. And verse 17 says, the Lord said, and he says it to Abraham. This is Jesus Christ, a Christophany in the Old Testament, appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I'm going to do? You're saying, why are you reading me this? Let me read you a verse. Hold your finger there. And I'm going to go back to 1 John. Henceforth, I call you not servants, verse 15, for the servant does not know what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all the things that I have heard from my Father, I made known unto you. You see what Jesus said to his friends? I'm not going to do anything without ever telling you first. So I'm just showing you the example of it right here. He says, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I'm going to do? Seeing that Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he spoke of him, or he had spoken of him. And the Lord said, Abraham, I want to tell you what I'm doing. Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous, I will go down and look whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come up to me. And if not, I will know. What did God just say? Abraham, you're not just a servant, you're a what? You're my friend. I would never do to my friend. What did Jesus say? From now on, I'm not calling you servants. Yeah, you're servants, but you're more than that to me. Because the servant doesn't know what his Lord's doing. Abraham, had he just been Abraham and just a guy, the Lord would have said, thanks for the meal and we're on our way. But because he's a friend, Jesus tells him, here's what the plan is. This is what we're going to do. In Isaiah 41:8, you could just write it down. God says this, but you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. God out loud calls him his friend. God says, Abraham is my friend. What did he just out loud say to every true disciple in John chapter 15? He called you and me and those 11 friends. What does that mean? It's a special place to be. It's more than what you think it is. It's more important than we sort of try to even give thought of. He calls us friends. You are my friends. And you say, am I really your friend? He said, I'm going to prove to you my friendship. I'm going to the cross tomorrow morning. You watch, he says. I'm going to the cross. No greater love. I want you to know you are my friends. No greater love has a man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. Did he lay down his life for you and me? Yes. Did he lay down his life for everyone? Yes, if they would receive it, yes. And they could be friends too. But everybody's not the friend. This is another decision you make in your own heart. It's not handed to her and not you and him and not me. It's given freely to anyone who will humble themselves and surrender to God. And you say, I'm too tough for that. Well, no. I've been around tough people, and some of the toughest people I know are true believers who surrender to God and take what the world hands out and still trust God and loves God. There's a tough person, guy or girl. You're my friends. He proves it. He goes to the cross at Calvary to pay the price for our sin in full. He gave his very life for you and me. Isn't that what he said the greatest love of a friend is? And he's already told them he's going to die. And now he's telling them, you are my friends. And greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then he tells you what? You are my friends because you're going to do what I command. You're going to walk with me in trust. Henceforth, I don't call you servants. Servants doesn't know what the Lord is doing, what his master is doing. Master does what he wants to do. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Let the fighting begin. Everybody's always looking for something to fight about. Did God choose you, or did you choose him? The truth is, the Holy Ghost came tugging at your heart because he wanted you to come on and be with him. And some of you said, not interested, clown. Leave me alone. I just want to go to hell with all my friends. And some of you said, I'm in, Lord. I tried it my way, and I've done everything upside down and wrong, and I can't fix it, Lord. I'm in. Save me. So look, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. These things I command you, what are they? He's already told us once, he's just telling us again. Love one another. Earlier he said, love one another as I have loved you. The command's never going to change. No matter what language you read it in or how you try to convert the words, command's never going to change. The Lord makes a clear reference here in verse 15 between servants and friends. See it? He shows us the position, the difference of the positions that we're in. You see, the servant knoweth not what his Lord's doing, but I've called you friends. All the things I've heard from my Father, I'm making them known to you. I'm telling you.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.